This is Jerry Howell, found in listener 074. I was here at the beginning. I know things. You're listening to Still Talking with Rob and Josh.
Rob Spiewak. Josh Sucker.
Still Talking!
That almost sounded threatening.
I mean, yeah, we're here. We're still talking. Whether you listen or not, we're talking.
It's like Jerry Howell's going to come and say, hey, I know things. You better keep it together or talk about topics I like because I know things. Well, good news. Anything that I can be blackmailed for has already been revealed on the internet years ago. So
I think Jerry is in defense of us. He's saying, listen.
Oh, okay.
Because I know things.
See,
not
that's
at
you.
Us. It's in support of us.
You're being very optimistic, and I just felt attacked. I don't suppose that's a good idea.
No. No more attacks.
Welcome to a Thursday edition of Still Talking. I'm Rob Spiewak.
I'm Josh Soroka.
And you are still in the Outer Banks. I'm back home in Leesburg. Are you enjoying the beach-type attitude down there? Are you saying that life is good, which people love saying in the Outer Banks?
Well, that's a brand name of all the clothing down here.
People love saying it, though.
I've had a lot of alone time.
Mm-hmm.
After you left, and I've gotten so much
any tears? Done. Were tears shed when I left?
No tears, but I just moved to your bed so I can sleep in your bed.
I think that's nice.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was weird that you didn't want me to make it up or change the sheets or anything.
I have to go wash all the sheets, so I would just
understand.
Do them all at once.
First off, and perhaps most important of anything, we start by saying thank you to our founders. We just heard from founder number 74, Jerry Howell, but we have around about 150 founders right now.
And I love the founder numbers. I love hearing founder
number,
whatever.
Refer to yourself by founder. In fact, got a beautiful intro from Rick Schofield, who didn't name his number and didn't even say his name. So I sent it back to him. I said,
Rick, we need your help.
You did not do the job right. We were pretty specific. You need to say your name and your number. But it is this groundswell of enthusiasm and approval and sort of an endorsement for a show that hasn't happened yet is really exciting. Josh and I are really thrilled to know what's coming up, and the fact that you guys are on board with it, it means the world. So,
and if you haven't gotten on board yet as a founder, a founder membership gets you a year of the premium product. It gets you a t-shirt. It gets you a pin.
Yes.
It gets you 4 current founder-only Founder Vault episodes that you'll get instantly when you sign up. And we're working on a 5th one right now.
Yeah, there's more content to come, but all this will only be available to the founders. So if you want to get in on the ground floor and know what's going on, it's a great value. Is it? I mean, I know I would pay $600, $700, $800 to be a founder. What is the going rate?
It is $150.
That's it. That's it. So, the price of a cup of coffee.
Yes. And that's just for your first year. It renews at $120. There's some extra in there to take care of t-shirts and pins and really just supporting us with the launch of this thing. And we're so appreciative.
And you will always have your number and you will always be featured on our website as a founder.
Yes.
So we thank you for that. Very, very exciting as we move forward. And also Josh and I texting like high school girls every time a new founder signs on. That's also very fun too.
It is fun to get a text where one of us finds that the number has increased before the other.
Yeah, and I started by just like sending memes and GIFs, or are they GIFs or GIFs?
Well, you would send me jersey numbers.
Yeah.
So you'd send a football player with number 12.
Right.
But
and
now the numbers
I think
are too high.
A lot of times you'd look at it and say, I don't know why he's sending that. Before it sunk in that what I was doing was that.
It took me a moment to be like, what are you talking about? And then I figured out the number means something.
Yeah. We, because you are still in the Outer Banks and I just spent a few days with you down there, it was outside of the cruise, which was full of distractions last year. This was the most time we spent together.
Yes.
In person. And I think it bodes well for the show because whether or not you like it, folks, Josh and I had a blast with each other. We find each other very entertaining.
It is. And we have a full show today because one of the things we did is we wore microphones for an entire day.
Yeah, and it was the kind of microphones, if you remember our one-off about our trip to King's Dominion for an hour under the tower, we forget that we're wearing the microphones.
Yes, Yes, we do. And it recorded about 8 hours of audio while we were wearing it and out and about.
Yeah.
I have narrowed that down with AI. It's fun when I give the audio to AI and I say, go through these 8 hours, see if there's anything entertaining, see if there's anything that's not visually based, and bring the best 22 minutes that you can.
At any point, do you anticipate a message back from AI, like after an hour, and says, there is nothing entertaining that happened?
Yes, that's what I expect. I expect it to come back and be like, here's your best 6 minutes.
That's right. And 2 minutes are commercials. And 1 minute is the intro music. But exactly. The other 3 minutes are great. But so I've not even heard it yet. So I'm looking forward to going through
it. And
that.
I've got 22 minutes to go through. Mm-hmm. I think we'll do this probably third segment of the show. And it covers us going to the Wright Brothers Museum.
Yeah.
It covers
on Kitty Hawk.
It covers some of our random conversations. It covers the arcade. And it covers an amazing idea that we came up with for Still Talking.
Now, we may or may not get to the whole thing. That's the thing. We may grow tired of it. But
yes,
no matter what, we will listen to some of it today, and the rest of it will be posted as another founder's thing, I guess, like a bonus piece of audio.
If we don't get through the whole thing, we will just post it as is.
Now, question for you, as I did enjoy my time at the Outer Banks, it didn't seem, and you know, you go to different beaches, they can be buggy. You can get mosquitoes. Yes. You can get the worst thing are like horseflies. And I know that sometimes on the Eastern Shore, if the wind is blowing out to sea, you're riddled with horseflies because they're coming from the land and going to the beach. If the wind is coming off the water, it tends to keep the horseflies away from the beach.
Right.
But either way, it's bad. Mosquitoes are perhaps, you know, the most common villain when you're battling bugs at the beach. And I read this article that really is horrifying. I think it puts us at a distinct disadvantage, Josh. Are you familiar with DEET? Spelled simply DEET, right?
Yeah, when you go backpacking in the backwoods or anything, you put DEET on to keep like the mosquitoes off of you.
It was introduced in 1946, and it's actually called, let me get this right, dithalmetatolamide, which is an anti-mosquito formulation, so... It was made by the military, but it eventually became, I think, Backwoods Off and Cutter and all of those insect repellents.
Yes.
And it's great because it will, you know, protect you from the scratchy, itchy bites.
It's probably killing you some other way, mm-hmm. but it stops the itch.
The way it was created is they say there are plants that their aroma repels bugs. I know, I think eucalyptus may be one of them, and you know, some flowers that are natural that repel bugs, and they try to mimic that.
Citrus, I think, is one of those that keeps mosquitoes away.
It keeps bugs away until it doesn't. And here's what's horrifying. There was a research team that was at Virginia Tech, and they realized that mosquitoes are smart enough to learn. Okay, first off, I don't like that. I think that a mosquito should be stupid, and if it has the ability to learn, it becomes a much more, I think, sizey opponent. I mean, you don't want it to learn and
No, because then it becomes like some of these smart birds, like crows and ravens, where it's like, no, you're too smart. I don't want you anywhere near me. You're creepy.
Crows remember people. Crows will bring you presents if they like you, and crows will come after you if they don't like you. So I don't like smart birds. I don't like birds as a rule. I really don't like owls. I hate bats, but bats are just flying mammals. So
yeah, bats
count.
Are not birds.
But creatures of the air, I find them, you know, upsetting. But this learning mosquito, so the mosquito, when you freshly apply DEET, the mosquito is repelled by it. But as it fades, it's less effective because, you know, it's working on the olfactory sense, the smell that the mosquito has. So the problem is the scent fades but doesn't go away entirely, and the mosquitoes will come and bite you. What mosquitoes are learning that if they go after someone who smells faintly of DEET, there's a meal to be had. That DEET is drawing them to the people because they know that this is a warm-blooded creature that put this DEET on, and under that DEET is tasty human blood. Mosquitoes are learning to disregard this pesticide that was meant to repel them.
Yeah, that's.
And it's drawing them to us.
That's a problem.
This is the stuff of a 1950s horror film.
No. That's a problem. Any of these insect repellents, if I'm out there putting Pesty down and suddenly it's bringing bugs in, it's a problem.
Yeah, that is a big problem. Thank God Pesty works and keeps the bugs away.
Do they have a plan on how to fix this deep problem?
Well, they don't, because it's been 70 years that we've been relying on this stuff.
But I think when you go to like Target or whatever to buy your normal like insect repellent for going just to like the kids' Little League game or something,
right?
A lot of those bottles will say DEET free.
Okay, so maybe DEET is just a thing of the past, but DEET is still your primary go-to ingredient, I believe.
Well, yeah, and I always assume that DEET free means we don't really work.
So,
you know, it's like sure, good luck,
but. It's like rubbing sugar water on yourself to get flies away. This is drawing mosquitoes in. They say, hey, you know what that smells like? That smells like 98.6 degree human blood. I'm all over it. So beware, folks. Thank goodness winter is coming. Of course, you don't really have winter in Florida where you live, in St. Augustine.
No.
Do you have bugs all year round?
Yeah, we get gnats are a problem, and we get these love bugs. Which are little bugs.
They're Volkswagens, right?
They latch onto each other. So that's why they are love bugs, because they're always attached together.
Right.
And they are extremely annoying and all over the place. So
on you? Do they bite? Do they sting, these love bugs?
No, just annoying.
Okay.
Just annoying,
what about, do you have ladybugs?
We've got ladybugs.
Yeah, not the movie with Rodney Dangerfield.
No, actual
ladybugs. Now, I think they can bite you if you piss them off.
Maybe so.
I'm not
sure.
I don't know.
I have a screen-in porch, so I can sit outside without being outside.
All right, then I need to bring up one of the one of my favorite slang words from, and it's really not even a slang word, of the Eastern Shore. Do you deal with no-see-ums?
No-see-ums are similar to love bugs.
But no-see-ums are so tiny.
Yeah, no-see-ums are, but they're out around the same time. We have lots of no-see-ums.
Well, no-see-ums can fly through screening because they're that small. So I've seen the treatments in the Eastern Shore where they will actually spray some chemical on your screen so that the no-see-um, or as I like to refer them with my father, I said, don't go out there. There's plenty of non-see-thems out there. The non-see-thems will get through the screen, so you have to be careful with them. Who knows? But I don't think a no-see-um is as smart as a mosquito, because let's go back to the fact that the mosquitoes are learning. This really is like a 1950s horror movie, like where nuclear radiation makes the ant be 20 feet long or something like that.
It's Hitchcock the Birds, but if it was the mosquitoes and them coming in and taking over and no longer being scared of humans, deciding this is our place. Now, what I've never understood is the purpose of mosquitoes. Like, what do they live their life to do?
Well, to drink your blood.
We know bees pollinate.
Right.
As far as mosquitoes, all I know is that they can get dinosaur blood and get caught in amber, and then you find it and dig it up later on and make
the purpose. If you believe such a thing, God created mosquitoes so Michael Crichton could write Jurassic Park.
Well, there's got to be that's what I'm saying. There's got to be another purpose of mosquitoes.
Do they eat? These brilliant mosquitoes that are getting smarter all the time, do they eat smaller pests? Do they eat an no-see-them? Or do they just live on human blood?
I don't know.
Because you know what a mosquito would love? Oh my gosh, can you imagine a mosquito that found a tick? Because the tick has already done the work.
Tick is
like a DoorDash for mosquitoes.
That's true. But see, we live in a world where you can Google anything.
Right.
So we're going to talk to the bathroom reader guy in a little bit.
That's right.
And that's lots of trivia. But I don't know if there's mosquitoes in his book.
Yeah.
But I did Google, what do mosquitoes do that is helpful?
Yeah. Because okay. And what did you get?
There's got to be something good they get.
Yeah.
First answer is they are a vital food source for many animals.
You know who eats them? Bats eat them.
Fish, frogs, salamanders. We got lots of little lizards in Florida. They eat them.
Yeah.
Do you
think that the salamander is a particularly bright animal? Like a smart animal?
No.
Well, then you
know
what's going to happen.
I don't know the difference between a salamander and the little lizards that we have, but our lizards are dumb.
Now, are those, do you have the lizards that you can hang on your ear?
Yes.
Have you seen those? Okay.
Yes, good. That's what we have.
All right. See, here's my thought, is the salamanders are not getting any smarter. Maybe they're getting stupider. Maybe they're status quo, but they're certainly not getting smarter.
Well, they're not a gecko.
Well, no, the gecko is selling life insurance or auto insurance.
Auto.
But if the mosquitoes continue to learn, they're going to begin to outwit. Like they can outwit a salamander. I think a bat is pretty smart because it's a mammal, so it probably has a more of a functioning brain because it has to care for its young in a very specific way. So maybe it's instinct, maybe it's smarter. But don't you think a bat would be smarter than a salamander or a frog?
Yes. I think if we're ranking like the animals that these random animals that you ignore all day and who's got the bigger brain?
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think a bat would be smarter than a salamander.
Right.
And probably a frog too, because a bat can cover more ecosystems and fly among where a frog is stuck near a pond or my front porch. So I get that.
If DC Comics had come out with a superhero called Frogman instead of Batman, he wouldn't be as smart of a superhero. He'd be more of an aquatic superhero. Salamander Man.
Well, there is like a reptile comic book, like X-Men or something, that's got the big tongue like a frog. So there's a little bit there.
Okay. But of these animals we talked about, I think bat is towards it. Bat doesn't approach like dog or cat.
No. Dog and cat, even horse is up there.
I like that we're referring to them in singular. Dog, horse, cow, goat.
Yeah, like deer. I don't think deer is much smarter than a dog.
I think a deer is stupider than a dog.
Yeah,
because they're constantly being hit by cars.
And then running into the cars themselves. I never have seen one look both ways before crossing the road. They just run.
So what if the mosquito, if it keeps gaining knowledge, right? And we've been scientifically proven by the people of Virginia Tech that they've learned that DEET means blood. If they continue to get smarter, and I don't know if their brains, maybe their heads will get bigger because their brains will get bigger, they could be up there with bat before you know it. And maybe they're using sonar to track these people that are wearing DEET.
I'm not too worried about the mosquitoes. We've got like Mosquito Joe and stuff that goes and sprays for them. That's not DEET. They're spraying some type of poison to kill them.
Do you run behind Mosquito Joe's truck because it smells good?
Yeah, yes.
I love those stories of kids of the 50s. I know Mike O'Mara did it, is when the mosquito guy would drive through, they would run behind the truck. See, now you'd just be riddled with mosquitoes because they're just spraying DEET all over the place.
It's got to be something better than DEET that they're spraying.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, DEET, remember, it was designed for the military. It's pretty high-grade stuff. It was great for 70 years.
Yeah, but there's a reason that when you go to Target, it all says DEET-free, because DEET is somehow bad for us.
Well, you know, say people may think that. I love DEET. I think it's delicious. Yes. And now that I don't drink anymore.
It. Right. But did you like it before your lead-painted walls?
I love them. That lead tastes so sweet. Do you think a mosquito is smart enough to not eat lead chip paint yet? Or will they get there?
No, I don't think they're getting smarter.
Okay. Do you think a mosquito will ever be as smart? And let's go back to birds, but this is a specific bird. Will a mosquito ever be as smart as a chicken?
Oh, a chicken might be one of the dumbest birds.
Yeah, it's a very dumb bird. It is.
If you don't,
but useful because of the egg production.
Yes, but if you don't, somehow you have to, how do you train your chicken to lay their eggs in the chicken roost versus just all over
the
your
nest
yard?
Or the coop?
Yeah.
Did you know that chicken coops, one thing, chicken coops only have two doors. Did you know this?
What, just an in and an out?
Yeah, because if a chicken coop had four doors, it would be a chicken sedan.
No.
Can we delete that?
No,
you
we
know
cannot.
What? A mosquito would be too smart to tell that joke. A mosquito is now smarter than me.
Chickens.
I think chickens are instinct-ruled birds.
Yeah, they're one of the dumbest birds.
But they know that they got to sit in the nest.
But the rooster is smart.
Well, the rooster's got a pretty good job. And roosters are mean, too. I know that.
Yeah, roosters have to protect the flock.
Right, yeah. Do you think that the chicken knows, is the chicken smart enough knowing that if they don't make eggs, I mean, I should say lay eggs. It's not like they're cooking at a stove. If a chicken doesn't lay eggs, they become dinner. Do they know this?
I do not think they know this.
Okay. Well, don't tell them.
No. And do they know that chicken nuggets is actually chicken? Probably not, because it looks nothing like them.
That's true. Do you have a favorite shaped chicken nugget? I like the one that's sort of like a parallelogram.
Well,
There's one that's sort of teardrop shaped. Yeah.
Well, chicken nuggets, they used to have their defined shapes, where the McDonald's chicken nuggets look like McDonald's chicken nuggets. They're breaded different. They're in an odd shape.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think everyone's trying to go with the style of like Chick-fil-A, where it's just a lump. So you can't really tell what it is. And then they say it's fresher and better for you because it's not made of pink paste.
What about the chicken strips?
Well, seems like
a lot of people are doing chicken strips now. Now, do you think a chicken strip is smarter than a mosquito?
Well, now you're putting a living thing up to a dead thing. So
listen, I'm not gonna close the door on anything.
Well, you want to not wrap this up until I admit that a mosquito is smarter than a chicken.
No,
I know where you're going with this.
No, I don't necessarily.
They're all dumb animals.
I don't require that.
We can do another episode later on.
Yeah.
Where you give me some time to prep, and I will give you the smartest animals according to me.
Now,
I'm not going to do any research.
No,
I'm just
going
to make a list of animals.
Okay. The research, I'll close with this. The researcher actually says that mosquitoes are very plastic, he always says. The more we look at them, the smarter they appear. So maybe the mosquito, Josh, is playing dumb. Maybe it's very smart. Maybe it's smart. Because, within dog breeds, there's different intelligence ratings. Like, poodles are very smart. I think Labradors are not as smart. So maybe the mosquito is smarter than a Labrador, or going to be smarter than a Labrador.
Maybe. But mosquitoes are currently just instinct-based.
Don't you want to see 100 years in the future how smart mosquitoes have gotten?
No. No, I'm good.
Okay, good.
I'm hoping that 100 years from now, mosquitoes are non-existent. I know I did see they clean like water and all, but we've got filters for that. We no longer need mosquitoes. Frogs can figure something else out.
You know who I bet hates mosquitoes? Is Sam Walker, because they're taking his business. If they're cleaning water, that's money out of Sam's pocket, because he's a pool guy.
They're cleaning pools.
Well, they might. They might eventually get there.
Maybe.
They've already figured out how to avoid insect repellent. We're doomed if mosquitoes figure out how to trade goods and services for cash. That would be the end of everything.
Yeah. If they come knocking on your door at 7 a.m.
Yes, with donuts.
Yes.
Mosquito donuts.
Yes.
Do you think the average IQ of a mosquito is over 100?
No.
I think it's probably like, what do you think it is? I think it's like 40.
I think it's like zero. I don't think zero? You can measure what, because they can follow a smell that makes them smart.
Well, we said, the mosquitoes are getting smarter. Maybe in 50 years, again, we can ask mosquitoes to do some problem solving. All I know is that it worries me.
Hold on. Is there an animal that was dumber 50 years ago? Has any animal progressed this way?
Yes, you're looking at him. I used to be really stupid, and look at me now.
We are not counting humans as animals in this discussion. I think the dogs of today are probably dumber than the dogs of 50 years ago.
Well, they're certainly not as mean. I think dogs used to be meaner.
Well, and more of them are in homes and less wolf-like. So I think dogs have gotten dumber. I can't think of an animal that's gotten smarter.
Yeah, you know what? More wolf, less wolf. Was that anything? That wasn't anything.
I don't know.
So watch out for those super mosquitoes with little graduation caps, mortarboards. Watch out for them.
No.
Watch out for mosquitoes in libraries.
We have been trying mice and mazes and cheese for 100 years.
Yeah.
And have you seen a single mouse get smarter?
No, but the mosquito.
They find the cheese, but they don't get smarter.
The mosquito will fly above the maze and then find the cheese. And mosquitoes don't even like cheese. That shows how smart they are. They will outwit the problem without even having the reward. But yeah, I think we've solved a lot of problems, as we always do.
That's the smartest 25 minutes we've had in a while.
Here on Still Talking. Now, we talked a lot on the Michael Mara show this week about vegetables. Do you know what a quince is? It's a fruit.
All right. I'm familiar with quince.
It is
of it more as the clothing company. But
no, but I know that it is a fruit. It is a hard, golden yellow autumn fruit related to pears and apples. So that's what a quince is. But
I have
as
seen
you
these
said,
things. Yes.
Yeah, but quince is also a great sponsor of the show. And I love quince. As a matter of fact, you know, we've got this boat trip coming up, this farewell voyage for the Michael Mara show to celebrate or observe, really, Mike's retirement from the podcast.
Him retire.
Well, I don't think you celebrate it, do you? Is it more of an observation?
I think we're celebrating Mike and his
career. Well, it's a celebration of Mike, and observing
the retirement.
And then
we're going to mourn the show.
Yes, exactly. But as I was looking at putting together some of my outfits for the cruise, they say that a cruise rube does not pack one nice outfit in case you are invited to dine with the captain. You should pack a sport jacket or something like that so you don't have just like Hawaiian shirts and board shorts.
That's
so that if you're invited to dine with the captain,
that's how I pack. I pack my clothes always. You never know if the captain's going to ask me to dine. It's why when I go to Oriole games, I go in full uniform because you never know if they're going to ask me to play second base.
Exactly. You have to be prepared.
I'm always prepared.
Now, sadly, Quince does not make an Oriole uniform. Not yet. But they do make beautiful clothes, and I will be packing their linen pants. I'll be packing their T-shirts because it's an elevated T-shirt is what they've got. I wore their stuff all summer. It is now fall. The stuff is still great. The fabrics feel, this is their word, but it's true. The fabrics feel elevated, the fits are clean, and everything just works. There's no need to overthink it because Quince has all the wardrobe staples for dining with the captain.
I did get a nice fall sweater that there's a good chance it ends up on the cruise.
We've got linen pants. You have the 100% Pima cotton T-shirt, which is amazing. It feels like it's otherworldly, relaxed and comfortable, but they fit so nice. And the best part, everything is priced 50 to 80% less than what you'd pay with similar brands. So when the captain turns to you and says, Josh, how much did you pay for those pants? And you'll say, Captain, you wouldn't believe the deal I got because they've eliminated the middleman. And he will say, you're smarter than a mosquito, the captain would say.
I one day the captain will ask me to sit, apparently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I tell you what, when I get invited, I will ask if I can bring you as my plus one.
That sounds good.
All right,
and when the Orioles ask me to come down and play on the field, I will say, hold on, I have to call Rob to tell him that this whole ruse actually works.
So I don't get to go in. So if you're playing second base, I don't get to go on the field and play? Could I coach third or something?
No, I started it with I was going to invite you to play and realized how bad of an idea that was.
They already suck.
You could be my – since the Orioles are inviting me down.
Yeah.
I might as well have my very own – Bat boy.
Well,
and
I don't like
bats. Bat boy.
I don't like bats. Bats are smart.
But we already have ball girls, so you can be the bat boy.
All right. And now, batting third for your Orioles, a mosquito.
Same chances as me.
Exactly. Refresh your everyday outfits with luxury you'll actually use. Head to quince.com/TMOS for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's almost a year. That's quince.com, Quince, quince.com/TMOS for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/TMOS. I will see you at the captain's table. Now, this is the first time Josh and I have entertained a guest on the Still Talking podcast, Still Talking podcast. We're going to take a small pause, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Bob Boone, I believe was his name.
Brian Boone.
Forgive me, Brian, my most intense apologies. Brian Boone, who curated the Uncle John's all-knowing bathroom reader. If you're like me and you love trivia, you're going to want to hear this interview because this guy knows everything, including some weird facts about Alex Trebek. Ooh, we'll be back and we'll talk bathroom reading on Still Talking.
Rob Spiewak. Josh Sucker.
Still Talking.
Hey, that's us. Welcome back to Still Talking. Josh and Rob here. This is exciting because we're about to meet a legendarily piece of radio history, the first guest on this podcast. I mean, we've had plenty of each other.
It's not the first of this podcast, but this version. They're still talking Thursdays.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, exactly. Well, we're getting ready, you know, it's a soft launch. Yeah. So I think he's the first guest for us, right?
Well, that's an honor. Yeah.
Brian, you join us as we are transitioning from the Mike O'Mara show to right Still on. Talking as Mike O'Mara retires.
Right on.
It's a confusing time, but Thursdays is Still Talking, and you're joining us on Thursday's show.
Exactly. Cool. And I bet that Mike's retirement will be in the 40th edition of the book.
We'll make sure to include that.
Absolutely. All right. We're with Brian, quote unquote, Uncle John Boone, who is the, are you the curator of facts? I guess that's what you would be.
I'm the curator. I am a longtime contributor. I write about half of it. And then I talk it up on the radio and podcasts.
Cool. This is Uncle John's all-knowing bathroom reader, the 39th edition. And it says it's a product of the Bathroom Readers Institute. My first question is, am I qualified? Can I get into this institute?
You can get into the institute. You can be a proud BRI stalwart, as we call them.
So I get it.
If you like trivia or no trivia, yeah, you're in. Man.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about trivia in a moment, but another question that Josh and I were discussing before we keyed the mics, you've been doing press for this most of today already. How sick are you of disc jockeys right now?
I'm not at all. Like I love talking shop, and every radio guy is interesting and engaging. And, always has fun stuff to say. Like a lot of these people use the books for giveaways and stuff, and
show prep. I know that a lot of the hard hitting, yeah. NPR covers it a lot.
Yes,
but Rob, this is
I like talking to you guys.
Okay,
you guys
cool.
are curious, and you guys yeah. are curious and fun.
And I believe this is your fifth hour of interviews, if I remember the notes like that, properly.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. Just coming off Labor Day, it's like you're the new Jerry Lewis with the telethon. Hour five is beginning. Okay, so first of all, it is essentially a book loaded to the gills with trivia.
Yes.
And just some background on me, I'd be hard pressed to tell you the names of all my cousins, but I literally love trivia, have my whole life. One of the first hardback books I grew up reading was called The Joy of Trivia. Imagine like a six, seven-year-old guy reading that. And then when I'm like 10, and I know you will know this as well, I discovered a book called The Book of Lists. And that was to me groundbreaking because it was written like a real book, but all it was trivia after trivia and useless trivia. And I soaked it up like a sponge. So why is it now that we all have the equivalent of World Book and Encyclopedia Britannica and a full library in our pocket at all times with our phones, why do we still find it important to remember useless facts?
You know, it's I think there's nothing like that thrill of discovery, especially from books. You know, like how many kids will you see, you know, like reading a trivia book in a bookstore, or, you know, the most popular library book is always, you know, the Guinness World Records and things.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
The fat guys on the I like the fat guys on the motorcycles, the guy right. with all the cigarettes in his mouth. These are great pictures. Yeah.
Well, and
those are great. I love the Book of Lists as a kid. I had a you know, growing up in the 90s, I had a very out of date book of lists, a well-worn book of lists that I got at a garage sale, you know, looking up because that stuff wasn't anywhere else. That stuff was hard to find. And there's just the thrill of discovery and getting to share it. And I think trivia just demystifies you know, the baffling world just a little bit at a time. And that's stuff that we can share with each other. If you know more of the stories behind the things and people around you, it's not so scary, and it's fascinating and interesting.
Yeah, and what's great about this book is it's stuff that I wouldn't, like, I have all the answers in my pocket, but I wouldn't go and look up this connection or tell me about this story. So the book just gives me more random information without having to even think about what do I want to look up.
And we all have our specialties. For example, Josh could sit and quote you Orioles trivia all day. Yeah, he's a baseball guy. And that's his key piece of trivia today, that they suck.
Yeah. Will they win? No.
I could sit down and talk Beatles flip sides or record labels or music charting records. That's sort of my wheelhouse. But when you get into your book and it's all over the place, as someone who loves to do music radio, I love it because most of your facts can be told over the 14-second intro of a record. It's so bite-sized and so wonderful in that way. Do you have an area of trivia that you specialize in, one that really is your go-to?
I also love music trivia. I also like, you know, stuff that doesn't exist, like whether it's, you know, movies that never got made, sports teams moves that didn't happen, TV shows that were canceled before an episode aired. I love that, just like, you know, frivolous alternate history, I guess you would call it.
Well, stuff that only exists, it only exists in the ether. And if you don't write about it eventually goes away. Because as we've learned in Hollywood, everyone is dying. And when they die, they take their stories with them. So that's great.
Yeah. Can
I ask about one of those useless stories
that's
in the book? Because we've been talking on here about monkeys and monkeys in TV and movies. And one of the stories in here is about a chimp that saves TV news.
Yeah, now this is funny, and let me just say this as an intro, Brian. I was going to ask Josh if he knew about J. Fred Muggs, because it's a very common, it's a common story because it was all over, but it seems to have disappeared.
No,
so if you would,
stuff from the 50s is getting obscured. Like, I think Elvis was kind of in danger of getting forgotten until those movies came out a couple of years
ago. You're right. I mean, his fan base is literally dying. So,
oldies radio doesn't play 50s anymore. But I can't believe, like, I know a lot about TV history. I can't believe I'd never heard this story. Like you were saying about how these books kind of tell you what you didn't know.
Right.
My story with J. Fred Muggs. And for 5 years in the 50s, the Today Show, the serious news magazine, was hosted by a chimp. It was co-hosted by a chimp. So early days of TV, they were just throwing anything at the wall to see what sticks. Nobody was watching the Today Show, but everybody was watching these kids shows that would have, like, you know, a guy dressed up as a pirate with a little animal sidekick. So president of NBC, Bud Weaver, Sigourney Weaver's father, made them host, found this trained chimp named J. Fred Muggs and made him host the Today Show. So David Garraway, serious newsman, would read all these news items, and then they'd cut to the chimp in the studio who would just kind of parade around in a cute little outfit or bang on a piano or do a little comedy sketch. The most famous celebrity on TV for its first decade, J. Fred Muggs.
And monkeys
More
are
famous
and
than anyone.
I'm so glad we've turned this into a monkey podcast. Well done. Well done, Josh.
Well, yeah, we're going to get our own chimp.
No, we're not, because chimps
just to
are
be the third mic.
Yes.
Chimps are dangerous and chimps are unpredictable.
Yeah, but and we record virtually. They don't have to be in our room. They can be in their home.
Oh, yes. It's like in the Michael Jackson movie, the AI chimp we can have.
Yes.
I know Garraway hated working with a monkey.
Yes, yes.
But you know what? There is a small reference to it in the movie. Josh, have you ever seen Quiz Show? The movie about the game show scandals, one of my favorite movies. Yeah, but when they take the winning contestant and they put him, they say he's going to be a regular on the Today Show as like an education consultant, and he mentions that he'll be there with the monkey. It's just like a throwaway line, but it is monkeys on TV, which I think is fantastic.
He was huge, and he only got fired. He got fired because he bit Martha Ray, like during an interview.
You know, it's amazing. That's why. Also, why they fired Matt Lauer, I think. Same reason. So, when you're talking trivia and people are still drawn to it, do you ever run into a fact that you say, "Oh my God, there is no way that's true," and you've got to, like, double check your research because it's just too ridiculous to believe it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You think you're going to write one story and you wind up writing a completely different story because the fact changes along the way, or you find another avenue. Because, like, you know, there's all sorts of, you know, we have like a lot of wacky news, weird news,
sure,
you know, dumb crooks in these books, and you got to trace the story back to its original source. And and sometimes it's just like a police blotter in South Florida or something like that. And you find that like the story has been altered along the way. It's like a game of telephone.
Right.
And so we try to go back to the primary sources as much as possible. And then we tend to rely on our print sources more than ever. The internet giveth a lot of material, but the internet is also cursed in that it's like 95% accurate, I would say. So we gotta trace it back.
How many of your source stories take you to the great state of Florida? Because that seems to be one of the richest sources for entertaining news stories.
You know, we just do stories. You just like Florida Man. And apparently, and this is interesting. Apparently that became a thing because there's weird news everywhere, and there's always been weird news everywhere. But Florida is one of the few places where you could print somebody's name without having to get their permission. So
okay.
Yeah, so other places, like, you could just print, you know, you just print the story anonymously, but that wasn't as interesting as, you know, putting a name and often a face or a mugshot to the story. So that's why that took off.
That's wild.
But I still think Florida is wild.
Josh is a Florida guy. Josh is okay, but he's in the Outer Banks.
I'm a relocated
right now.
One.
Yeah, he's from, yes, originally from Maryland. So calling it a bathroom reader, and this is funny to me. I'm thinking that the average youngster, like my son, he's 22, my daughter's 25. If you said this is a bathroom reader, they'd say, but why? If you're going to read in the bathroom, read on your phone. And I tried to explain to them that before phones, there were actually members of my family that kept magazine racks in the bathroom as a courtesy, fine hotel.
Yeah.
And so I love that you're bringing back the the quaint habit of reading while you're on the toilet. Do you ever see that coming back?
I think it should, because you know we're on our screens all the time. We're required to be on our screens all the time. This could be a moment of respite for you. Like it's the one of the few things that you do by yourself. You know, for most of us, it's the one thing you can do by yourself. It's a moment of respite and rest from the world. And while you're in there, just take a moment to yourself, a quiet moment, and, you know, learn a little something, entertain yourself. Just don't just endlessly scroll on your phone and look at the algorithm of what some robot has chosen for you. Just like take a book, flip it open, and, you know, see what you can find.
And I like that you have something to talk about when you come out. Hey,
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And then you get to share that information and you're like, oh, I read somewhere. You know.
And then they say, that's fantastic. And you did wash your hands, right? I think that also the beauty of the book, and I hold it right here, it's a beautiful size, and the font is big enough even for me, is that there's no way to accidentally record yourself on the toilet while you're reading the book. Whereas with a phone, it's always a risk. Always a risk.
Happens now to you once and you never forget.
You never do. You never do. Or you become a very popular influencer. It's one or the other. So you were talking about, you know, searching stuff to go to the source. What was the year that the book was first published, the first edition?
1988.
So definitely pre-reliance on the internet. You could probably get a www going, but we weren't all doing it in 1988.
It was very rare, yeah.
Josh was 6 years old then.
Yeah, quite.
But
eight.
Okay, so but I was close.
But yeah, that was eight. Yes. That was eight too. Yeah.
With the speak loud, because you know I'm getting older. The the notion of not having the internet and writing the book is pretty incredible, because that's the font of information. Has the influx of internet popularity and having the internet constantly available, has it helped your job? Has it hurt your job? Has it helped your book? Be put together, or does it hamper sales? How does it affect you?
You know, I think all of the above. Yeah. We are kind of the internet before there was the internet. It's just this, you know, massive information just waiting to be discovered. It's curated for you, you know, in a tasteful way, unlike an algorithm. It's curated in a tasteful way, but you know, the internet, you know, allows us access to so much information and so many stories, but at the same time, you have to kind of question it. It provides us with a lot of material, but it's mostly jumping off points, and we can take it from there and go off in other places. But you know, yeah, sure, phones are competition, but it's you can't beat a real book, and you never will be able to.
We're talking to Brian Boone, the fact curator for Uncle John's All-Knowing Bathroom Reader. Have you ever encountered a fact that made you look at something totally different? I mean, just for it doesn't have to be this, but like something about a food that you've been eating your whole life, and you read a fact about the food, and you go, "Oh my God, I can never eat that again." Based on that fact, have you ever had any lifestyle-changing facts that you've discovered?
You know, there's a thing in here about, like, you know, why cheeses smell the way they do, and it's because of bacteria.
Sure.
And like I knew that, but I didn't, because I remember, you know, young Uncle John, a moment when I was very little, I asked my mother, why is there holes in Swiss cheese? And she just said, it's because of bacteria. No follow-up information, no follow-up questions for my part. Yeah. I'm just like, that's gross and weird.
Yeah, but that is a little off-putting. Yeah.
Again in here, but like that's why cheese smells and why cheese is the way it is. It's because of bacteria. So there's good and bad bacteria, right? But,
right.
We also have this article in here about horses and how, you know, horses are the key to modern civilization developing. And I never thought about that before. Just like, I'm like, oh, just, yeah, horses and stuff. They're, you know, they're beasts of burden, you know.
Sure.
But you follow it back in this article, so beautifully written by my colleague. You know, it took them 100,000 years to domesticate the horse. But when they did, like, civilization ramped up, like, because once we had horses, we had the spoked wheel, and then spoked wheels meant that horses could pull wheeled plows instead of the ox-driven heavy plows, which led to an increase in agriculture and population increase and long-distance travel and the spread of language and ideas and goods, and then city-states developed, and then there were roads between them to, you know, move the horses back and forth. So, like, that's just fascinating to me. It's like, I never would have thought of that.
And yet, horses have never hosted a morning television show. I mean, I would like to put a horse on Good Morning America for competition against J. Fred Muggs. We can see what happens.
They're not entertaining. They're the hard workers.
I would say you've never watched Mr. Ed then, because the right horse could be entertaining.
Yeah, with a little peanut butter and string.
Exactly. You can make That's all you need. Work. That's all you need. So when you're, I'm sorry, Josh, no, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You're digging into this.
When you find a fact and, maybe it is of perfect interest to you, but then you're thinking, is this widespread enough? Does this have the legs to go into the reader? Is there a test or some way that you sort of qualify, quantify, vet out the facts to say this is going in the bathroom reader?
You know, if it is obscure, I try to find the angle that's the widest. That's the widest thing, you know, because I was doing this article. I picked up David Lee Roth's memoir at a used bookstore, and it's absolutely
huge bestseller.
Well, I was gonna do like a page of quotes from David Lee Roth, but I couldn't find enough that were suitable for print, because it's David Lee Roth. But yeah, I found in there that he was talking about the movie that he tried to make, and that was the reason why he left Van Halen. So everybody knows Van Halen. Everybody knows that David Lee Roth abruptly left Van Halen, and left the spot up for Sammy Hagar. But nobody knew that he actually left Van Halen to make movies, and he wrote this movie called Crazy from the Heat, where he's going to play himself, and he was on like this crazy deserted island surrounded by, you know, bikini babes and such. And it never got made because the studio went out of business.
It's crazy because, I mean, someone who loves music and loves music trivia like myself, I always heard, and it seemed true, that he left because he was busting heads with Eddie. It just seemed like a personality. And that's the story that sort of played out. Yeah. So he did that. And his first solo effort was an EP, a 4-track album called Crazy from the Heat. And that California Girls. And I think it had Just a Gigolo on it. So,
I think Yankee Rose. Yeah.
Yeah. So was that soundtrack? Was that in preparation for the movie that never got made? Or can you even answer that?
It was, because he was butting heads with Eddie because he wanted to be like the showman, because he's covering, you know, California Girls and Just a Gigolo and doing the song and dance routine. So he wanted to be like an old-fashioned entertainer. He wanted to sing and dance and make movies. And the movie would have been a musical. It would have had opportunities for him to do that. So he didn't want to do, you know, the peak of Van Halen's success as the biggest hard rock band in the world. He wanted to do, you know, that old-school entertainment. So that's why he left. And he wanted to make a movie to show off his skills.
Is there a book, is there a chapter in the Bathroom Reader called Bad Choices? Because that would be a lead story under Bad Choices. Because that not making the movie would lead to him, I'm just going to guess, losing his hair, becoming an EMT, becoming a morning disc jockey. And now I don't even know what he's doing. But and Van Halen is still had, I mean, I know that we lost Eddie, but the band itself is held in amazing high regard. And he sort of disconnected himself from
maybe
that.
Maybe he's still trying to sell the movie.
Could be.
He's still out there trying to convince someone.
Him at 75 doing what he was supposed to be doing at 30 would be a trip, because he probably doesn't think he's aged at all.
No, but he really has. Man. Yeah, yeah. But I can see, you know, if you look at the flavor of that Crazy from the Heat music, that belongs in a movie. Not a good movie, but it does belong in a movie. Yeah.
No, it seems like very much a movie that would have been on cable, you know, all the time in the late 80s.
Yeah.
One of those movies you just absorb on HBO.
So we talked that, you know, Josh is a sports guy. I'm sort of a music showbiz guy. You're also a music guy. But when you're looking for topicality for your book, is there one genre of fact that is really, really the way to go? Like, it just when you go into some, like, break it down to like the wedges on Trivial Pursuit. Is it easy to do sports and leisure? Is it easy to find facts on geography or history? What are the go-to?
Oh, I think it'd have to be start with something everyone knows.
Yeah,
yeah. You start with like those touchstones of pop culture that everyone knows, those historical events, you know, the same 10 books we were all forced to read in high school, things like that. But I, as far as through lines go, it's accidental discovery. It's accidents, because then you get accidental discoveries, people messing up, you know, people, you know, returning to the scene of the crime and, you know, reporting, you know, a stolen bag of drugs to the police. And, you know, that's an accident. You know, so many inventions were created by accident. You know, Splenda was created by accident. You know, so many things are created
tastes like
by
an accident.
The microwave was created by accident. You know, it was supposed to be a weapon, and a guy walked by with a chocolate bar in his pocket, and he knows that it melted and realized that, oh, this could be a lucrative kitchen gadget.
Fantastic. So
some would say Rob's entire career is an accident.
Yeah, and not a good one.
You went in as an intern and you never left.
Yeah, I kept falling upwards. I have a melted chocolate bar in my pocket.
There you go.
Yeah.
I started in the mailroom, and here I am.
Now, was there an original Uncle John?
There was. His name was John Javna. He's still around, but he's off doing other things. He's off doing charitable work in Colombia now. He was in a bathroom and he realized he had nothing to read. And he's like, other people must have this problem. And he'd written some other trivia books. So he kind of compiled them into an all genre, all encompassing volume. And that's
good
where he
for
got
him.
Started.
See, I like to picture Uncle John as the old guy at the retirement home that won't stop talking. And just telling people useless facts nonstop.
Yeah.
That will be
the
me.
Nurses hate him. That's right.
Right.
That will be me. God willing.
Well, well, Brian, outside of the book, I did see you were a contestant on Jeopardy.
I was.
So trivia has always been something to you.
I think at about the age of 10, I discovered Uncle John's Bathroom Reader and I discovered Jeopardy just all at once.
Who was your host when you were on the game?
I was on Trebek, one of Trebek's last seasons. I was on right before they switched over to the HD set. So I was on the old set.
Yeah.
And I was on with Alex Trebek in 2009. Yeah.
How did you fare?
I finished third. And if you remember the Cheers episode with Cliff Clavin when he went on Jeopardy.
Sure. Absolutely.
I did that. I ran the board. I got every question right. And then I blew all of my money on the Daily Doubles. Every single time.
What was the question? What was the question that tripped you up? I know you remember.
It was, of course I remember.
Or the answer that tripped you up. I'm sorry.
It was about which founding father spent a lot of time in France. And obviously it's Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, Jefferson, right.
And I said Benjamin Franklin, like a moron. And,
well, no, that's, I mean, that's a good, because, you know, Benjamin Franklin loved his whores. And France is a good place for whores.
He did.
Yeah,
he
so.
Did.
I might have given you partial credit.
I had like 10,000 to, it was like 10,000 to zero to zero, and I lost everything, and I never quite, I got it all back, and then I blew it on another Daily Double. Then I blew, got it all, and I blew it on the other.
That's that strategy part.
Yeah, were you a strategy guy? Did you do like Jay Holzhauer? No. If you can have a strategy, but it doesn't have to be, you know, coupled with knowing the answers. Did you hit the big money ones first and then work down to the lower money? Because that's sort of a relatively recent trend.
My strategy was I can read fast, and I thought that was going to be an advantage, not knowing that, like, everybody on Jeopardy is somebody who can read fast. And they also lock you out from answering the question. You don't see it on TV, but there's lights on each side of you've got the wall of screens, and then the one question fills up the whole thing, and then there's lights that count down. And once they all disappear, then you can ring in. If you ring in, if you try to buzz in before the lights are all off, it locks you out. So you have to time it just perfectly.
I've talked to more than one Jeopardy contestant, and they say that knowledge is, of course, important, but timing is as much of a skill on that show.
All timing.
As anything. Yeah. How was Trebek? Did Trebek treat you well? Did he scoff at you because of your bad gameplay?
He was very Alex Trebek-y about it. He was very stentorian and very, very thick Canadian accent and everything like that. But because of the quiz show laws, absolutely zero contact between contestants and him. Like, we're kept in a holding pen, and he's kept on the other side of the studio. So we met him when he came out as they're filming, they say. And now Alex Trebek, he comes out.
You don't see him until then?
No, we don't see him until then. And then, you know, when the credits are rolling and you're standing around talking with the host, as soon as they said we're out, he left. Like, my fellow contestant was telling a story, and he just left in mid-story because he's not legally allowed.
Legally that he has to do that. But is he able to sort of excuse himself quickly and cleanly, or did it just seem rude at the time? Because you're probably already in a pretty rotten mood.
Oh, absolutely. I was just sick to my stomach, but he was nice about it. There was like a bunch of school field trips sitting in the studio during the time. So in commercial breaks, he took questions from the audience, and that was pretty cute and engaging. So he was a lovely guy.
Did he get all the answers right when they asked him questions?
They asked everybody asked him, how many of the questions do you know? And he said, I know almost all of them, which
that's a lie.
When he gets the answer, he does. Yeah. They should have some guys that are assigned to come and rip him off the stage at the end. So then you don't think he's rude. You think he's locked up in the back room. He's a prisoner.
You can blame the other guy. So not to get too personal, Brian, but are you a married guy?
I am a married guy.
Okay. Does your wife ever get sick of you sitting on your phone or at your desktop or at your laptop just bunny trailing fact after fact and going down all these rabbit holes and finding all this stuff? And when she says, you're not present, and you just say, dude, I'm doing my job. Has that ever been a thing?
You know, not really. She's curious. She's a curious person too. She's an excellent researcher. She's written lots of pages for us over the years. She's as curious as me, and she's introduced me to topics I knew nothing about. Like, she knows a lot about gardening and flowers and Victorian history, expert on Marie Antoinette. So she's dishing me out as many facts as I dish out to her.
She's going to introduce you to interesting topics like vacuum cleaning and doing the dishes and all the ways that you can help out around the house. I did just do a random open of the book when I got it. And it's a hefty book. Yeah. And I landed on a page that I know that Josh and I would go crazy for. And it's facts about soda. Soda pop facts.
There's and not I much mean, we don't like more.
That's, I mean, we really dig the carbonated beverages.
Absolutely.
And one thing that landed, and this will be a memory test. Why do some people call it soda? Why do some people call it pop?
It's I can't remember exactly why, but it's a regional thing, right? It's
right. Yeah, it is. Yeah. But I wondered if it was based, because I know there are certain areas in the South where all soda is called a Coke. Let's go get a Coke.
Yes.
And I mean, it's just, I don't understand. I think here in the Mid-Atlantic, where are you based, Brian?
I'm in Oregon. And we call it, seems like it's a mix here, but my wife is from Oklahoma, where all they drink is Dr. Pepper, but everybody calls it Coke.
Yeah.
They get me a Coke and they mean a Dr. Pepper. Nobody means Coke. They mean a Dr. Pepper, which is, extremely confusing. But the pop came from, I believe it was Green River, a soda up in the Illinois, Wisconsin area. And it made, because of the way it was bottled, it made this very distinctive popping sound when you opened it up. And, huh. And before then, they called it soda, but people started colloquially calling it pop.
That's, you know what, I do think that it's a fascinating piece of nomenclature throughout the states, but I think here in the Mid-Atlantic, we've got it right. It's a soda, and if it's a Coke, it comes from the Coca-Cola product company, and Pepsi is never okay. I'm sorry, no. I just can't do it.
When they say, is Pepsi okay? I'm like, yeah, Pepsi is.
It's by definition, it's okay.
And
it's
they
not
never
great.
Offer it when you have a choice.
No, you're
what,
right.
That's what we have.
Yeah.
So I
know we're up against the clock. I could talk to you for a day and a half, but likewise. After spending as much time as you have assembling the all-knowing bathroom reader, what is one question that you can be asked that you cannot answer? Is there something that you've researched and you want to get in the book, but you just can't make it happen?
Yes, that's a great question. I want to know like the origin of like sports team names.
Like,
Baltimore Orioles, the Maryland Terrapins. When did that start and why? And when did it become official? Like I'm not searching for the right things, maybe. I just cannot figure out where that started. It just seems to have started, at some point. You know, I know that like baseball teams name themselves after their different sock colors for a while, but like it predates that because there's, rugby teams and stuff like that all over the world. But so I just can't find that one.
Here's a good starting point. Go back 5 or 6 years and research why they called themselves the Washington football team. And the answer is bad management. That's your answer right there. Brian Boone, I guess you are the honorary Uncle John and the curator of all the facts for Uncle John's all-knowing bathroom reader and the first guest on this iteration of Still Talking. Fascinating stuff. Brian, come back and talk to us again someday.
I'm going to
acquire a list of stupid questions about monkeys and horses and Dr. Pepper. And I know you're the only one who can answer them. Thank you so much.
I hope I can help. Thank you guys so much. That was great to be here. Thank you.
God, Brian knows everything. He really does.
Yeah, yeah. Just poor Jeopardy strategy.
Yeah, I'm sorry that like your skee ball strategy. Also not great.
Yes, or like when we were in the arcade and did the race car game. There's no point to a break on a race car game.
You're
and
right.
That's how
You're
he
absolutely
plays
right.
Jeopardy.
And
foot on the gas.
The reason Josh brought that up is that you beat me at the race car game.
Multiple times.
Yeah. I beat you at skee ball.
Every
but then
time.
You toasted me on the basketball
when we,
game.
Because when I play skee ball, my strategy is go for that top left corner.
And if you get the 10,000, you win, but you never were able to get it.
But it's also one of those things where if I get it once, I can get it four times. So
I can
destroy once I find the right spin.
When we were at the arcade, I was watching a mosquito, and he was just going for 5,000 every time. So
yeah.
He's smart.
Yeah.
He learns. All right.
Yeah, how many times did that ball kill him?
Well, yeah, I said, don't sit at the ball return. You're going to get smashed. All right. I'm playing the Ocean Cruise music. Why? Because the Mike O'Mara Show has done a lot of crazy things over the years, so we're not just going to say goodbye, take our ball, and go home. No, we're going to paradise. It is the final voyage for the Mike O'Mara Show, and we are going to hop aboard a luxurious ocean liner and spend 4 days with you listeners, and
four mosquito-free days.
Four mosquito-free days, and you know what? Because there's no mosquitoes, you've got a very good chance of winning trivia on the boat because they won't be there to compete with you. Perhaps the main thing, of course, is the historic final recording of the final Mike O'Mara Show. And it'll be in front of an audience. There'll be no retakes, no redos. This is it. This is the final show. And we really want you to be there for it because without you guys, the Mike O'Mara Show wouldn't have ever happened. And so, since you were there at the beginning, we'd like to have you
there. And that
there
was part of our
end.
Weekend. Part of our weekend plans in the Outer Banks were starting to plan the cruise and the
exactly.
live show.
Lots of good
I'm so
surprises.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
So this is from January 21st to the 25th. We leave out of Tampa. We spend a couple days at sea. We spend a day in Cozumel, which is magical, I understand. And then we come back on Monday. And I was leaning on my mom pretty hard last night. I think there's a chance my mom is going to come with her sister. My mom has never done a cruise before. And I said, this will be the perfect.
She says, careful. I hear the TMOS crews are addictive.
They are. And she'll spend the rest of her life
booking others.
She'll spend the rest of her life with Doug Carlson, going from boat to boat to boat to boat.
Well, I believe that's Mike O'Mara's retirement plan.
Yeah, it's cheaper than getting a hotel. You could just live on a boat. But we would love to see you there. It's the time of year, mid-January, when you just want to get some warm weather, and it's going to be fantastic. So we've spent years making the show. Now let's make one last memory, and we need you to be a part of it. If you want to be a part of it, call 800-814-7100. That's 800-814-7100. Use group code 4435 and tell them you're with TMOS. My favorite part of the last cruise was when we were just hanging out with listeners. That's my favorite part. But there's always stuff to do, and it's going to be a blast. We want to see you there. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you again to Brian Boone for doing that interview with us. But now let's talk about us, because I think we're probably the best part of this show.
We'll find out.
I have not heard this yet. And maybe I will pull a Mike O'Mara and grow bored with it and play an explosion and we'll be done. But maybe it's fascinating. I don't know. As we said at the front of the show, we wore microphones all day as we drove around the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and AI put together our day. Josh, you have the audio, yes?
Yeah, and let's roll into the audio. We can make comments if necessary. Tell me to pause if you want me to pause.
All right, let's have it.
We start at the Wright Brothers.
Okay.
Rob and Josh came to the Outer Banks with a practical goal. Get together, enjoy the day, and plan what comes next for Still Talking.
Pause.
So naturally,
So our announcer is obviously AI guy. Fresh from his successful run as the announcer for Hicks, Nicks, Sticks, Picks. Now he's landed as this narrator. He sounds really bored with us already.
Well, See, I read it the other way. I listened to it. I feel like he's given us a whole lot more credit than we're due.
Okay.
Being like, we came to the Outer Banks with a plan.
Maybe, you know what? And also, maybe he's a cool guy. You know, he doesn't want to get excited
about it.
Well,
he's definitely a cool guy.
Chose a place built around two other men with a plan and a dream to take off. At the Wright Brothers National Memorial, one pair changed travel forever. The other pair wore microphones, wandered into the museum, and immediately started judging the family history. This is Rob and Josh planning Still Talking, where another big idea first got off the ground.
He's judging us.
Yeah, he is. Now, who do you like better, Wilbur or Orville?
Oh, I'm an Orville guy.
Yeah, I can see that. Great hats.
But Susan, no one talks about Susan.
Susan Wright?
Susan Wright.
Or Stephen Wright, their comedian.
I think Susan was one of the parents.
Oh, there she is.
Yeah, see, Susan and Milton.
Milton.
That was, they had seven kids.
Too many.
And yet we only talk about two of them.
Yeah, you think it's bad that you're the only... Only sibling without a college degree. How would you like it if you're the sibling that did not invent air travel?
I know. Or wasn't included.
That's right.
These two boys work together. Where was everyone else?
Yeah.
Then they came here because I guess Dayton wasn't going to work for
Yeah, too many
planes.
Buildings. Yeah. Beautiful Nat sound of the museum.
Well, it was crowded.
It feels like we're there.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Their whole thing was you lean to steer a bike, that's how you'd fly. That makes sense. It's weird how, like, we just think of this thing, that stuff naturally
now.
Yeah. Like, you don't think about...
I suppose that was imperative.
Well, I feel like Orville built this for experiments, and Wilbur was just there cooling off with the fan.
And eating ice cream.
Yeah.
We're very judgmental.
We are. We really should be impressed with everything they did.
It was all impressive.
Yeah.
We can't get past the fact that it's...
Wonder why they haven't tried to make a movie yet of these two brothers. And
Now, that would be a good project for Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
Step Brothers too.
Yeah.
they're trying to build...
But instead, they're the Wright Brothers.
Except they would do horrible, old-timey accents.
Yeah,
and it wouldn't work.
There should be, some sort of movie about it.
It seems like there should. Like, now that...
The museum supplied the facts. The fourth
sort of
flight went much farther
yes.
than the first three. Rob and Josh supplied a theory. The Wright brothers were powered not only by engineering,
on
but by
area.
The oldest yeah. fuel known to siblings, the need to beat your brother.
But you got to think that fourth one is pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were shitting themselves when they did
one,
that.
Two, yeah, you really are.
It's like, come on, quit showing off. And I should know this. I don't know which one of them was actually the pilot.
I meant to look. I feel like they took turns. So I feel
well,
like,
I bet they fought.
Right. But I feel like I can just see that fourth one, the other brother chasing him down
yeah,
the field.
Yeah, and I said, you know, you're quit showing off.
And I can't tell, are you excited at that point? Or are you irritated that he's going further than you?
Yeah, or, because, I mean, and also if you're flying it and you've gone five times further than you've ever gone, it's like, is this right?
Right, because I know they were really smart brothers.
Yeah.
And I know they worked together with the bicycle company and all. But I cannot help but picture them, like if Matt and I were
doing exactly what
together,
I was thinking.
Where we would be bickering all the time.
Yeah.
Supporting and work better together than with anyone else.
But still.
But it's nonstop.
Yeah. So these are the sheds, but they flew from the hill?
The shed is where they worked on it.
Okay.
And I believe they flew from the hill.
Okay. Pause one second. We are infinitely quotable on this show.
Yes.
And I do think in the museum, there should be on the wall, you know, they have those beautiful quotes engraved. It should say, quote, these were smart brothers.
These were
Josh
smart
Sroka.
Brothers. Yes.
That would be a nice.
And we are two dummies sitting there saying they flew from the hill when they did
yeah,
not fly from the
hill. Not
even
close.
We later
to
learned
them.
It
yeah,
wasn't
we,
anything
absolutely
to do with
wrong.
The hill.
Yeah. Go ahead oh, with no, this we'll fascinating. Are these original cones?
I feel like the cones were there last time it came.
This is us walking out
like
to the
they
extra.
Safety cones on the
sidewalk.
Path, yeah.
I do. See, that I do think of them as if Matt and I tried to do anything.
Yeah.
Because I always think of Matt and I on the baseball or softball field together.
Yep.
Because we don't have to communicate. We just throw the ball and the person's there and we know each other well enough
yeah.
that I never had that connection with anyone else. Like he and I, he and I used to warm up pre-games with two balls because we would both be throwing at the same time.
Oh,
and then
cool.
you catch it and you throw and no one else, I know other people can do it, but in our world, no one else could
do
that.
I was going to say, it probably looked like you were just showing off.
Because it looked like we'd shown off and it was just what we did for fun.
That's
as a
great.
Challenge to ourselves.
Well,
and
you're very
well.
Smart brothers.
But
like
that was
the right
because
brothers.
We would know he throws low, I throw high.
Yeah.
And I think of that as these brothers because I also know that the same time that we're doing something really cool like that,
yeah.
we are talking to each other, making fun of each other.
Sure.
And complaining that his throw was too high or too low or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, you're messing it up.
I can't get out of my head the picture of the two.
And I know that
I'm
had
doing.
To be these two.
Yep. I love the idea of them fighting.
Yeah.
Which
I really
is why
do.
I need a Wright Brothers movie that is not Wolfram.
I looked for one.
Well, there I think it should
one.
Be you and Matt.
I can't act.
Hasn't stopped many people.
No. And let's be real. If you want that version from Matt and I, you don't tell us you're the Wright Brothers. You say, you guys go build a plane and do this.
Go start a bike shop.
Right. It has to be a top.
On that first day, the Wrights flew four times.
They did.
The first three markers sit close together. The fourth is far down the field, turning a historic breakthrough into a surprisingly long walk.
I got a note from a lady that my dad worked with for many years, and I knew about her, but I'd never met her because he talked about her. And
Connie.
She said, I thought of your dad today. Whenever we would get something that came through, be it a resume or anything, that had a really big font on it, your father would hold it up and say, what?
What?
What? And it was just something he did.
Right,
and so if he saw that four, that's what he would say.
Pause it a second.
Yeah, there's a little doubling going on.
There's some doubling there, and we're not even in Ireland. You were just, I have to go back a second. You very flippantly just said, I can't act.
I can't.
But you never said anything about Matt. Do you think your brother Matt could act if we cast him in the Wright Brothers movie?
I think he'd be better than me.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think I play myself the best.
Yeah, well, of course.
Without a script.
Yeah.
Just let me go.
of the two of you, when the movie would be released, who would be the heartthrob? Who would be the one that drove the ladies crazy? You know you want to say it. Go ahead. It's
no,
you.
I don't.
Because you're the quiet brother.
I don't think there's a heartthrob. No, I instantly went to thinking of the movie Step Brothers, which I don't like.
Right.
And I don't understand why people praise it so much. But there was no heartthrob there.
No, I guess you're right. So you know who the heartthrob is? It's spelled T-H-R-O-B-B. Throb with two B's. And I'll be like your assistant. We're going to have to rewrite the story of flight.
Yes. Well,
What I'll be? I'll be the first male flight attendant.
Or the kid taking the pictures that was there.
Think I could play a kid.
You know, I think AI must have skipped over and not found it as entertaining as me that the lady at the gift shop invited you to her home.
Oh, have we been to the gift shop yet?
I think in real life we already went to the gift shop.
Okay.
Or chronologically, we already went to the gift shop.
Speaking of heartthrob, throb with two B's, yes, the older lady did hit on me. She had an opening joke and then, with a little too much sincerity, offered me to go to her home.
Yes.
That made you ill at ease, but as you know, I'm everybody's friend, so it didn't matter.
Hopefully it's still coming, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'll find it for later.
Like we were talking about bits earlier. Mm-hmm. That was his bit.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I also like that four is so much further than three.
Yeah.
That you know most tourists don't walk to four.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's the tired father who has spent so much time taking his kids everywhere in the Outer Banks, and they finally get here. And he says, well, you know, really what you want to focus on is the first flight.
Right.
That's the one that matters.
And then you got the kids who don't care because planes have been around forever.
Right.
So they don't ever think about the fact that someone had to invent it.
Yep. I think when we get up there, we should find a huge family that's like looking at the sign and say, oh my God, can you believe how awesome the memorial is for four? So good.
It looks exactly like
I'm so glad we walked there.
Right. I know, like, that's where I wish they did have like those penny stamp machines.
Yeah.
We could just hold one up and be like, can't believe you had to go all the way to four to get this.
I can't believe they have that lemonade dispenser at four.
Right.
Free lemonade. That's so great.
Yeah.
But it is not oppressively hot.
No.
It's a fine day.
No, it's not bad at all.
Listen to me
this
pretending I'm not out of
thing
breath.
That I do in like November.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, if anything, it's too cold.
That would be nice.
But today it's actually been beautiful.
The lesson was complete. Flight takes courage, engineering, and a very long walk back to the car.
Stop
Lunch
it one
followed.
Second.
Yes.
I'm thinking about my character of the male flight attendant for the first flight.
Okay.
I think my name is Marcel. So it's Orville and Wilbur Wright, and then I'm a one-name character, Marcel.
Yeah, but Marcel's a monkey name, and we have to make it a monkey movie.
We have to make it a monkey movie. Okay, so, oh, yeah, because you're thinking of Friends.
I guess so, yes.
Yeah, I'll have to think of a, I'll come up with another flight attendant name. Thank you. Well, how about Melissa? Can I play a character named Melissa?
You can be Melissa.
Okay.
Yes. Great. Because right, I'm sure back then flight attendants had to be female.
Yes, of course, and pretty.
Yeah, especially before airplanes. First thought was the brothers arguing over the qualifications for a flight attendant.
Well, back then, before planes, they were just attendants. They didn't have to be up in the air. Would just like walk around streets and say, hey, would you like a Biscoff? Would you like a thimble full of Coca-Cola? What are you? I'm an attendant. That's what I am.
Conversation reached two equally serious subjects, fast food architecture and the ideal shape of pizza.
Did you, have you ever seen that? And there's just a few of them around where people are taking Pizza Hut buildings and retrofitting them to look like Pizza Hut in the 80s and
90s. Amazing.
So cool. They can't be making any money, but
we don't.
And the bottom line is that Pizza Hut pizza is just not very good anymore.
No, I'm a Domino's guy when you go to those big three.
Yeah.
Big four, whatever.
But I don't know if I've changed, but Pizza Hut used to be great.
I find they all fluctuate. They all change their ingredients a little bit to save money
right.
and then to compete with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I find there's years where, but I had Pizza Hut recently and I wasn't impressed.
Yeah. Domino's is pretty solid.
Domino's.
It's not going to anything that you're going to like scream about, but
no,
it's consistent.
It's consistent. And that's what I look for in that.
Hold on one sec. I have to apologize to all the jarheads and still talking listeners out there. I have now officially forgotten I'm wearing a microphone, and my diction and vocal pattern is so lazy. I mean, I sound like a guy that had THC beverages the night before and stayed up too late. So my apologies. I try to tweak it up normally for a broadcast, but you're not getting any of that.
No, no, you're getting this is showing you that even when the mics are turned off, Rob and I still talk about meaningless stuff.
Yeah, but just with worse diction. Yeah. I'm ashamed. This sounds like Elvis's last concert. Like I'll be dead in 2 months. Hopefully I can beat those odds. Go ahead.
Scream about, but no, it's very consistent.
It's consistent, and that's what I look for in that.
Domino's. And never, ever Little Caesars.
No, I do have a soft spot for Little Caesars.
Oh, I think I'd rather be hungry.
No, you haven't had their little cups, pizza cups.
Now, what is a pizza cup?
Pretty much the best invention in the world. Like, you think pizza couldn't get better, and those guys at Little Caesars said, let's reinvent the pizza.
In a cup, you can eat.
So the pizza cup, I don't know what it's really called, but I'm going to call it a pizza
cup. Okay, I really liked the name.
I'll have to look up what it's called. But it is a muffin pan.
Okay.
And then you put all the dough in the little muffin compartment.
Right.
And then you put some sauce in the middle. You push down a hole in the middle. You put sauce and cheese in the middle. And then that's how you serve
this
your pizza.
This is really...
Okay, so it's like a...
It's like a pizza muffin.
I was going to say, or a baby quiche.
It's like a quiche.
But
it is called the Little Caesars Crazy Puffs. And
okay, you've had
the name. I've had them many times.
Are they crazy?
They are very good. But everything Little Caesars does is crazy.
I think that your explanation was really drawn out when you're explaining how to make them in a muffin pan.
Well, yeah, you were confused. So
I spend my life confused. Just tell me to fake it. Then you don't have to explain it.
But it's pizza, so it's something very important to me.
In a cup.
That is
look
what
at
it
that.
Looks like.
Yeah, you know what? That's exactly what I pictured. And look, it's got fresh seasoning on top. Do they all have meat in them?
No, you can get them cheese or pepperoni.
Okay. Like for a vegan, a veggie pizza cup would be
possible. Yeah, I normally get both. I get the cheese to share with Kelly, and I get the pepperoni for myself.
Could they whip up a custom one, like a sausage and mushroom?
I don't think so.
You know why? That would be too crazy.
Well, because it's Little Caesars. It's like pre-made stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pizza they would have a little seizure. A little box of four, and I always get
I was going to ask
boxes.
About the quantity, yeah.
And Little Caesars is the best because of the price.
Well, yeah, I mean, they give
it
away.
It is so cheap. You can't.
$3.99 for four of those cups.
So I get the pizza cups. I don't know what they're called, though.
Good Lord.
But also, we never had pizza Little Caesars around us since Kmart closed.
Right.
In Maryland. And so it's also a soft spot to, now that I have them and I see them for fun.
And if you're good at lunch, Josh, I'll buy you a hermit crab.
Oh, we've reached the barbecue place.
I've had to buy the hermit crabs. What parent doesn't?
I know, and they die and they smell.
Yep. Not a hermit crab fan.
Before we get to lunch, I do have to say, this portion of Still Talking brought to you by Little Caesars, home of the Crazy Puff.
Don't you wonder why AI found that an interesting conversation?
I'm fascinated by it. The whole thing fascinates me, that it found anything interesting. I guess it has to set the bar. Pretty low if they find this interesting. I don't think we can take too much more of this because it is a thrilling recap for us. I'm not sure everyone else is buying into it.
I have no idea, but I know the arcade is coming up.
It is. Oh, okay. Go ahead. Let's see how the
Your
arcade
parent
goes.
Has had to deal with it.
Yep.
Okay, we're going into the barbecue.
We once had the escape hermit crab. And 2 days later, I found him almost to our front door.
Right.
And I said to Carrie, I said, look at that poor little guy. He almost escaped.
Almost.
But he was just dead laying on the floor.
Now, are you familiar with the ghost crabs?
Yes.
They've got a lot of ghost crabs here at night.
Food settled the stomach, at least temporarily. The Wright brothers had also started a theme that refused to go away. Small aircraft, strange aircraft, and the kind of pilot who treats a blimp like a fighter jet.
in Florida, they have a few fly-in communities, which are where you have a little airstrip, and then they build all the houses around it.
Sure.
And the houses have a garage.
So does the rest of the world, Josh.
And I was working in one, and Travolta had a house there, but they kicked him out of the neighborhood because he bought a jet, and it was way too loud.
Yeah. Well, you know, Wayne Newton keeps a jet at his house because he's right by the airport.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Or at least he did. I don't think Wayne has quite the
money. And if you're by an airport, that makes sense. But here in your little neighborhood where you're taking off between houses, you're shaking every house when you take off.
Yeah, so true. But how great would it be if when you taxied upon landing, it just took you to your house?
That's exactly.
That'd be so awesome.
And they all have wings that fold up so they can go in the garage door.
Better storage.
Yes.
We are really
That's
morons.
Pretty cool.
Yes, we are.
I mean,
but
no doubt.
I have no interest in learning how to fly a plane, and I'm not sure I'd like a little plane.
I don't need to learn how to fly a plane.
Have you ever done, like, a trip on a prop plane? Like,
Oh, yeah.
We're not the smartest.
Yeah, like one leg of your trip or whatever?
Yeah, I did one from, I guess it was BWI, might have been National, to Niagara Falls. And it was tiny. I mean, so small. And I guess it didn't help that Carrie was really, really pregnant.
Right.
So she was no fun to sit next to.
Never too late to throw your wife under the bus.
And it was one of those where I didn't know that was one leg of the trip.
It's surprising. It's always surprising. Yeah.
But I didn't mind it.
AI needs to learn about the pause.
I have no desire to do a helicopter.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I assume
it's twice I've been in a blimp.
To let you know where you're driving.
Yeah, I know you've done the blimp.
Yeah.
I have no desire to do that either.
I'd go on a blimp with you because I'd like to watch you on a blimp.
I'd have no desire. I would get sick on a blimp.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
It's just like being in a boat.
And I don't like boats. Yeah. I get seasick on a boat.
It's like being in a boat without the ability to go fast so the boat goes steady.
Yeah,
you know, you're always at the mercy of the air.
And no ability to fall out of the boat.
Right, exactly.
Well, you could fall out of a blimp.
And it's also bad if you have a pilot with a screw loose, which
quickly
I did
end.
That does the dive bomb feel.
Yeah. But he did fly us low enough over WJFK that Don and Mike came out and waved, and I saw them from the blimp.
That's fine.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That we had a stop set long enough that they could come out and win.
Do you think we are actually making people want to listen to this? Is anyone still with us?
I don't know.
Because I want to stay with until we get to the arcade. I really do.
Well, I believe.
But folks, know that we understand what we're giving you right now.
Yes. We're letting you behind the scenes completely.
Yes.
Because this is how our weekend went.
And do you want to be there?
Right.
We don't know. But this is how we are.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sorry. I can't change that. That's just how we are. So, yeah.
Josh picked an Avengers coin pusher, learned that colored balls light the Infinity Stones in a gauntlet, and settled in for the unmistakable sound of too many coins falling at once.
All right, what coin drop do you want to go with?
I liked your Avengers one.
I think the Avengers is the best one.
And I like that there are chairs.
Yeah. They did provide chairs.
And
make it easy to get our money.
Size was pretty good.
Does this bonus? Like, does it have a bonus light up?
Yes.
Okay, good.
All right. And look, if you do more swipes, you get more plays.
Okay.
So we should definitely do multiple swipes.
Okay. Good job.
I think this is...
Depending
what
on what
people
color,
do on a slot machine, but I don't understand the
drops.
Right. I do understand that, yeah.
Or at least get it in.
Oh, I could go on a lifetime without hearing that voice again.
Well, yeah.
Oh, I got a ball somehow.
All right, hold on.
You're good.
The coin pusher, people should know, it not only pushes tokens, but it pushes balls and cards.
Yes.
And if you get the cards, you can collect a full set. But who would ever play the game long enough to get all 9 cards, Josh?
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
And had plenty of extras.
Did you
The balls are the Infinity Stones, so you have to fill up the little glove.
That's right. And if you get all five of the Infinity Stones, you get a bonus spin.
So you're lighting up the Infinity Stones in
useless.
The glove, I guess, with the balls. Oh, there's another ball. I haven't even released one yet.
We get so annoyed when I say tickets.
All right, stop it. We can't do this to our lovely people. We can't.
I think
that's just a taste of our weekend. If you want to hear the entire AI-generated recap,
I don't know if we want to put the whole thing out there.
You don't want to put it up?
I don't know.
Stay tuned. It could be just for the founders, you know.
There is a moment after the arcade where we come up with our first brilliant still talking idea for 2027.
And I'm wondering if we want to reveal that yet. That's the one thing that would make me say, don't put this
up. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying we're not ready to unveil that yet.
Although there was a clue in the bathroom reader segment regarding the product. Believe it or not, it's a topic we discussed, we touched on. And it is a monkey.
You know what I want to do?
What?
I want to do a founders episode where we talk about an announcement and share, well, not an announcement, but an idea.
Yeah.
And share this idea with the founders, because these are the most important people to us.
I agree.
I want them on, and they might be able to help us turn this idea into a reality.
Into a reality, and everybody will find this to be an absolute delight. Speaking of our founders, as we close up here, we've done enough for a show, I think. I mean, probably by
You know what's twofold. Amazing?
What?
We're in a podcast, so it doesn't matter.
You're right. You've got to train me. Please, train me. Get me out of this radio thought process. Before we close up here, we're going to end it not because of the time, but because we've literally run out of things to say. That's why we end a podcast. We have an AMA, which means ask us anything. Ask me anything. I guess it would be an AUA, ask us anything. But we want to entertain your questions for a Founders episode. We will answer anything. No, all bets are off. No limits. Where can they submit their questions for an episode?
There's a contact form at stilltalkinpodcast.com.
Right.
That's the best place to go. Fill it out there. Or respond to, if you're a founder, respond to any email that you've gotten from us, and that comes back to us as well.
Because we do want to entertain your questions. We did post. You did post as a blog the Declaration of Principles, so you know what the show is sort of about. But if you have something specific you want to know about, we would love to address it. And also it gets us thinking how we want the show to be. Also, founders, make sure you fill out your bio if you want to.
I love it.
And that you do that just by hovering.
A submarine.
And you didn't dream it. I think you just hover over your name, right? And it allows you to see the bio?
Hover over on the computer, tap on the name in the phone.
And maybe you'll get an award, like the previously mentioned Sam Walker III, who won the Golden Pastry Award. Congratulations, Sam. No one can ever take that away from you. So, ask us anything. Thank you again to all the founders for your participation. And also, don't forget to record your name and your listener number to introduce the show, as we want to have listeners introducing every episode. Did I miss anything?
No. If you want to give a clue for our founder's idea, June 17th.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
My Aunt Lina's birthday. Maybe. I don't think it is. But
even
if it
is,
it'll be close.
That is. So don't mark your calendars.
No, do mark your calendars with a big question mark, like the Riddler would wear on his shirt.
Yeah, but I'm not saying we're doing an event that day.
No, we're absolutely not saying
that. I'm just saying that day is a
It's a key figure. That's right. All right. I'm so excited because I think most people have figured it out.
You think so?
Nobody's figured it out.
I don't know. Do you think August 6th might confuse them?
I'm always confused on August 6th. It's the heat.
August 6th is more if we let Mike into our idea. Then it'd be an August 6th instead of a June 17th.
Now I've forgotten the idea. So we're going to have to talk about it when we finish. This has been the Thursday edition of Still Talking. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you.
And
I hope
people
enjoy that.
I hope against hope that people enjoyed it. I think there were portions of the show that were very good.
And thank you, Brian Boone.
Yes.
For coming on and the bathroom reader.
The all-knowing bathroom reader. There will be a link to that in our description. Go and buy 3 copies right now and get them by June 17th. Was that a clue? Was that anything?
It's a good way to close the show.
It's the best I've got. We will talk to you next time. So long, everybody.
Rob Spuak. Josh Sucker.